I feel constrained to just briefly go through the first part of James chapter 4 as we have been studying this book. This morning we're dealing with just verse 4 of chapter 4. Verse 5 of chapter 4. We dealt with verse 4 last week. And verse 4 deals with the cause of godly jealousy. The cause of godly jealousy. It is an affinity with the world. James says, do you not know that if you have an affinity with the world, that system that dictates against the knowledge of God, if you move toward that, says James, and you have a desire to be there, you are becoming an enemy of God. And he's talking to believers. And then he says, further on, from an affinity, we move to an association where we cross the line. Like Demas, who forsook the Apostle Paul, having loved this present world. He was mesmerized by what it had promised. And as a result, he forsook his faith. He forsook his fellowship. He forsook the very Spirit of God that was actually crying out to him from within that he would not, and he continued to do so. Then we see the cost. Of association with the world. Don't you know that when you become a friend of the world, you become opposed to God? As a believer, we become opposed to God. As I said last week, we never become more resistant of God than when we want to do what we want to do. We never oppose God more in our lives than when we say, I want to do this. Then James takes us then to chapter 4, verse 5, where our text comes this morning. God, a jealous God? Listen to how it reads. Or do you think that the scripture speaks to no purpose or in vain, says the King James? In vain? He jealously desires the spirit which he has made to dwell in us. Now, if you are a Bible student, you will know that this verse, verse 5 of James 4, has caused no end of controversy among the people of, well, theologians, not so much the people of God. For the argument goes like this. What spirit is James talking about? Is he talking about the Holy Spirit in us? Or is he talking about our spirit now that has come to understand something of God's calling, something of God's indwelling, and is this spirit what he's talking about? I suggest to you, my friends, you may differ, but I suggest to you that our spirits cannot yearn jealously against the things of the world. Only God's Spirit can. Therefore, I believe the text is speaking about the Holy Spirit who indwells us. When the Holy Spirit who indwells us is placed against the desires for the world, he who indwells us is moved to godly jealousy. Now we must understand, my friends, the difference between jealousy and envy. Jealousy is related to envy. But envy is the attitude that wants what someone else has. Or they are actually raged against someone who has something that they would like to have. Jealousy, on the other hand, relates to wanting someone. Jealousy deals with relationship. Envy deals with things. And so James is saying that the Spirit who dwells in the believer, the indwelling Holy Spirit, is moved to jealousy at certain points in the believer's life. We want to see what that is this morning. But before we do, let us look at what I call the content of godly jealousy. And we looked at the fact of it. Can you imagine, my friends, perhaps even this morning, as I speak to you about the jealousy of God, immediately your minds begin to race forward. How can God be jealous when everything I know about jealousy is negative? Everything I know about jealousy is bad. Is it possible that something bad dwells in a good and a holy God? Well, we must understand what jealousy really is. But first, let's look at the fact of it. In the scripture, that divine utterance. That which tells us about God, who He is and what He does. In the scriptures we find that God is a jealous God. I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 34 and verse 14. We can turn to Exodus 20 and you will find the same thing, but I want you to look at 34 and 14 because you have the strongest scriptural evidence of the jealousy of God. Exodus chapter 34 and verse 14. This is God speaking through Moses. For you shall not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous. For the Lord, whose name is jealous. How do I understand that? Is God a human being that he can experience jealousy? My friends, the question should be the other way around. Because God is a jealous God, it is possible for human beings to be jealous. For God does not get his emotional being from man. Man gets his from God. And we see here that God presents himself as one who is jealous. Now, the word jealous has two primary meanings. The first is zeal. To have a strong, positive passion. A strong desire for an object. The second part of the word is to be displeased. To be displeased. And they are one of the same coin. And so it is possible for God to have a strong desire, and it is possible for God to be displeased. The displeasure of God. George Morrison lived over 100 years ago, and he writes about the jealousy of God. Jealousy is so associated with evil that we hesitate to attribute it to God. We would never have instructed or even ventured to think that God, being a jealous God, is taught in Holy Scripture. We would never think it of ourselves. It would never come to my mind, because of what I know of jealousy, it would never come to my mind that God is a jealous God. It takes scriptures to reveal to us, my friends, that God is a jealous God. You shall not worship any idols or bow down to them or make anything to worship, for I am a jealous God. Keep that in mind as we explore the jealousy of God as it relates to our lives as believers. So Morrison says that the scriptures do tell us that God is a jealous God. But let's look secondly at the freedom of God's jealousy, the freedom of it. Envy distorts everything. Envy distorts everything. It blinds the vision and is the mother of profound unhappiness. It is the vilest of passions, says one writer. Envy is the vilest of passion. And so immediately as we look at it, we know that jealousy in God is not vile. We know that jealousy in God is not evil. If it exists in God, his name, his character is jealous, then, my friends, there must be a godly side to jealousy. Let me suggest to you two things about the jealousy of God. The scripture says that God's jealousy is free from rage. God's jealousy is free from rage. God does not get uncontrollable when he sees certain things happening to his people. His jealousy, my friends, is not an out-of-control passion, an out-of-control emotion. It isn't one that goes and says, I want you, and I don't care what you do. I want you, and so I'm going to get you, even if it means killing you. That's rage. That is the kind of jealousy that exists in human heart. That is the kind of jealousy, my friends, that have been affected by sin. Because this kind of jealousy is a jealousy that seeks to destroy, rage. God's jealousy is freed from cruelty. God's jealousy is not cruel. In other words, God doesn't say, because you do this and you're not doing what I want you to do. I'm going to get even with you. Can you imagine, my friends, if the jealousy of God was something of God's getting even with people? I wouldn't be breathing right now. You wouldn't be breathing. If God was a cruel God, what he would do, my friends, is remove the breath from every human life that ever existed because of their disobedience to him. And so we come to understand that God's jealousy is freed from any distortion. It is freed from any cruelty. It is freed from rage. It is not that uncontrollable passion, emotion that is out of control, something you would find in one of an earthly king whose power is waning, either because he is losing it or because others are getting stronger than he is. Not so with the jealousy of God. Listen, I cut out something from Calvin's Institute as he talks about the jealousy of God. It's a little bit long, but I hope you'll bear with me. God very commonly, says Calvin, God very commonly takes the character of a husband to us. Indeed, the union by which he binds himself when he receives us into the bosom of the church is like a sacred wedlock, which must rest upon mutual faithfulness. As he performs all the duties of a true and faithful husband, of us in turn he demands love and conjugal chastity. That is, we are not to yield our souls to Satan, to lust, and to the filthy desires of the flesh, to be defiled by them. Hence, when he rebukes the apostasy of the Jews, he complains, that is God, he complains that they have cast away shame and become defiled with adulteries. The more holy and chaste a husband is, the more wrathful he becomes if he sees his wife inclining her heart to a rival. In like manner, the Lord who has wedded us to himself in truth manifests the most burning jealousy whenever we, neglecting the purity of his holy marriage, becomes polluted with wicked lust. But he especially feels this when we transfer to another or stain with some superstition the worship of his divine majesty, which deserved to be utterly uncorrupt. God's divine majesty must be kept pure, and when there is any infraction toward that, there is a sense of jealousy, as we shall see explained later on what this is. In this way, says Calvin, may we not violate the pledge given in marriage, but also defile the very marriage bed by bringing an intruder into it. Quite a statement. What is God's jealousy? If God's jealousy is not rage, if it's not cruel, if it's not out of control emotions, what is the jealousy of God? Look, friends, what I call the foundation of God's jealousy. God's jealousy is founded upon God's divine love. You see, it's a relationship that is being violated. First of all, the jealousy of God does not have to do, my friends, with the weakness of God, with the need of God. God does not have need. If he has need, then he ceases to be God. What it is, we learn something that God has emotions. And as Calvin says, when the very nature of God is being transferred to an image, because God has to be consistent with himself, then we understand that God feels violated when we're taking his glory and giving it to idols to worship it. But I want you to see what James is saying. James is saying when God, who wants to have that relationship with us, sees that we are becoming worldly, when God sees that we are beginning to feel a desire for the onions and the leeches of the world, when we take on the attitude of that world out there that rejects God, Then, because God is consistent with himself, it is like a husband who sees an adulterer coming to interfere with his wife. And no decent husband would ever say, it's all right, let her have her fling. No decent husband would ever say that. A godly, loving, caring, committed husband, when he sees any intrusion upon the relationship with his wife, will feel a sense of jealousy and has the right to see that anything that interferes with that relationship should be taken away. Divine love. We are made in the image of God. And Augustine said it years, centuries ago, thou hast made us for thyself, and we are restless until we find our rest in thee. To be made in the image of God, my friends, is to be made with a capacity to exercise one of the greatest privileges that a human being can have. And that is to recognize that my being comes from the being of God. Because God has being, I have being because he has made me in his image. Having been made in his image, anything that interferes with that relationship that he has established with us is, my friends, a cause for divine jealousy. Again, I read a great English teacher who says, God cannot stand by and be indifferent to his relationship with us. Married persons who felt no jealousy at the intrusion of a lover or an adulterer into the home would surely be lacking in moral perception. Why? For the exclusiveness of marriage is the essence of marriage. The exclusiveness of marriage is the essence of it. In other words, when we stand before the preacher, and when we stand before the witnesses, and when we stand before God, we make a pledge. I shall keep myself only unto you for as long as we shall live. And when there is intrusion in that, my friends, a husband who has that devotion to his wife will feel a sense of jealousy and will act to rectify the relationship. He will act. God is not a God of vengeance on his people. He feels a sense of sadness. God's love for us is so intense, so that one little adverb in that verse 16 of John 3, God so loved the world. The love of God, my friends, is such that it cannot stand by. Even after man made in his image had sinned and violated his eternal laws, even to the place of rejecting God, God's love for us is so deep and so intense that he was willing to give his son to bring us back so that the relationship might be established. That's divine jealousy. It is based upon a committed love. It is based upon a divine love. It is based upon a love, my friends, that has no equal upon earth. No equal, except in the marriage bond. That's the only place you can see it. And when we say that I am a jealous God, listen to what God is saying. If you worship anything that you make, you are making something equal to me. And if you make something equal to me, you are worshiping something less than me. And when you worship something less than me, you are denying my image in you, for the image of God in us leads us to God. The image of God in us leads us to God. You and I are the only creatures that God has ever created that has the capacity to look into the face of God and say, my God, my Lord, my Savior, my King. Animals cannot do that. If you please, angels cannot do it. Do you remember the song? Holy, holy, holy is what the angels say. And I expect to help them make the courts of heaven ring. But when I sing redemption's story, they shall fold their wings, for angels never knew the joy that my salvation brings. Your salvation, my friends, is based upon God's divine jealousy. If God didn't care, he would open hell and all of us would go there. But as it were, the Lord Jesus came from eternal glory and he endured the severest pain. And he endured the severest rejection, not from man, but from his heavenly Father. And as a result of his jealousy, he died. And he died that you and I might be redeemed back to God. And the divine jealousy of God is an invitation to lost men and women to come and be reconciled to God. That's divine jealousy, based upon divine love. But not only do we have the divine love, the foundation of divine jealousy, we have divine loyalty. Divine loyalty. It is because God is loyal to those he has redeemed that he is jealous when the Christian becomes worldly. Remember what we said of worldly? Worldliness, my friends, is not what I don't do or what I do, in the sense of I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't do all the, you know, the big bad sevens. No. Because it is possible, my friends, not to do any of those things and to be critical. That's worldliness. It is possible, my friends, to refrain from going to the movies, from playing billiards or pool. Possible to do all those things and have a bitter spirit. That's worldliness. So don't let us look only upon the things we don't do. Worldliness is an attitude. It is an attitude that wants for itself what the world has and acts as the world does, whether it's in response or reaction. And so God cannot stand by idly and watch you and watch me become critical, become self-seeking, become power-hungry, become unlovely. God cannot stand by. His spirit in us says, that is not right, that is not right. The spirit in us, when he sees worldliness encroaching upon that relationship, the spirit is moved to envy. We grieve God. This is why St. Paul said, don't you know that if you have all these things in your life, from Ephesians chapter 4, you are grieving the spirit. Grieving the spirit. God, if you please, God becomes saddened by the worldliness of my heart. Divine loyalty. My friends, not only that God becomes saddened. Let me tell you something of the jealousy of God. So intense. So great, so pure, so perfect, that if God sees one of his own moving in the direction of worldliness to the place of pushing God out with the pleasures of this world. Listen, friends, I say this with a great deal of care. St. Paul in 1 Corinthians says this, that the divine jealousy of God moves him at times to call Christians home prematurely. Prematurely. For this cause, many sleep, says St. Paul. God will not let us go. This is why, my friends, when Jonah disobeyed God and he went in the opposite direction, no one could understand why a storm was raging. The jealousy of God, my friends, was following Jonah. That's why the storm. And sometimes storms in our lives are due to the jealousy of God. Like the hound of heaven, he is coming to us and he's saying, change your ways. We'll see it further on in this text when we look at the rest of it. The loyalty of God. Oh, friends, even as Christians, God does not leave us alone when we are becoming worldly. His spirit within us becomes jealous. We begin to feel the tug of the Spirit of God in our hearts. Oh, son, oh, daughter, change your ways. Change your ways. And so the foundation for the jealousy of God is divine love and divine loyalty. Because of the loyalty of God, my friends, he will fulfill every promise he has made to Israel and to the church and to you individually. Every promise. He's loyal. And he would never be an unfaithful husband to you. He would never be an unfaithful husband to the nation of Israel. He will fulfill it because he is loyal as a spiritual husband. The scripture says in the New Testament, we're not called the husband of God, we're called the bride of Christ. And our bridegroom is coming one day because he is loyal. He has given us that promise. But I wonder, my friends, what the bridegroom is feeling today because of my worldliness or your worldliness. What is he feeling? Is the Spirit of God moving in jealousy in your heart this morning because you know you have not been faithful to him? The pleasures of this world, the things of this world. And I'm not preaching against those things, friends. What I'm saying is when they begin to squeeze God out of reading the scriptures, of coming to the house of God, of fellowshipping with other people, God is moved to jealousy. God wants you. And God wants you. And God wants you. And God wants you. He wants you. He wants you. He's jealous enough to reach out to you this morning, no matter what the situation is, because his jealousy is based upon his love for you. Will you respond to him? My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Will you respond?